The recording has started. You may now proceed.
Thank you so much. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Subteam for Additional Marketplace RPMs call held on the 28th of July, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. And with this, I will turn it over to our chair, Paul McGrady. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Paul McGrady. We have a handful of people here today, so that's great. Not bad for a Friday, as we said earlier. I checked the list for any comments to the revised question number one, and I did not see any. And so we'll ask one last time here. Did anybody on this call post a comment to the revised question one on the list, and I happened to miss them? All right. Seeing no hands, and since we said we would consider question one finalized, if no one posted any questions or comments on the list, we will happily do that, and we will move on with great joy and accomplishment to question number two. In terms of our agenda, I think our agenda is just to keep working our way through these questions until we're done. I did not receive, more global note, receive any feedback from the co-chairs of the larger working group on the issue of whether or not we are supposed to be engaging in a substantive analysis of the various voluntary rights protection mechanisms that are out there. And we have to have a paradigm to keep moving forward so we don't get stuck. And so I will take some liberty here and stick with the paradigm that I thought we were doing when we first put this group together. And that is operating under the understanding that we are here to gather information about those additional marketplace protections, not to evaluate them, so that we can take the information back to the larger working group and see if the additional marketplace protections fill in any gaps that we have concerns about. So we will operate under that. If it turns out that we get feedback from the larger working group, and we have to go back and reevaluate the work we do here today, then so be it, but we do need to be able to move forward. I see Mary Wong from staff. Your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Paul. Hi, everybody. This is Mary from staff. So just to follow up on that, Paul, the chairs and staff do a weekly prep call, and this is on the agenda to discuss. So we will be sure as staff to bring it back up to the chairs, who I think unfortunately are not able to be on the call today. In the meantime, we agree and we do encourage this group to get on with the work with all the other questions that's before it. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Mary. All right. Well, let's do that. Let's take a look at question number two. We have a proposal to delete question number two, and we have the question itself. Let me read the question, and then I will ask if there's anybody on the line who made the proposal to delete it and if they could talk to us about why that is. But here goes the question first. How can TMCH services be much more transparent in terms of what is offered pursuant to ICANN contracts and policy, and what services Deloitte and IBM provide to registries via private contract? Correspondingly, how can the working group and the public better understand what services Deloitte and IBM are offering to registries via private contract, e.g. private protections, using the Trademark Clearinghouse database and special webinars about these private services? What changes might provide a clearer line? Okay, so we have a proposal to delete this question, and so I will open a queue to see if anybody can speak to that proposed deletion. I see Susan Payne's hand is up. Susan Payne, please go ahead.
Hi, Paul. Yes, The reason for the proposal to delete was as I put in the notes, and I think if anyone's still got the reverse red line, it's in the note at the bottom of the document. But it was basically that the language as drafted is rather conclusory and not particularly balanced, and so obviously it would be possible to redraft to get some balance, but my view was that once we did that, we would essentially be asking the same question as we were already asking in one. It didn't seem to me that we were going to be eliciting additional information by asking this section this question twice. So I felt it was unnecessary because it duplicates. So that was the main reason, I think.
Thank you, Susan. I do see significant overlap between question one as clarified and this question number two. Do we have, before digging into the substance of question number two, do we have any supporters of question number two that would indicate that we need to keep it? I'll open a queue for that. And I'll put it this way. Keep option A, keep question two as is. Option B, keep question two, but revise it in some way. Okay. I see no hands for keeping it. I'll just for to be completely safe, I will ask if I could just get a green check mark for anybody who thinks we should delete it. I'll do a little non-binding vote here. Green check marks for those who agree to delete it. I see. Going to wait another second for green check marks in favor of deleting it. All right, we have seven for delete. Okay, and can you guys clear those, please? And can I have a red X for keep? Either keep it as is or keep it and revise. A red X. Keep it as is or keep it as revise. All right, I see one. David, would you like to give us your rationale for keeping it? You don't have to, since I opened the queue before and didn't see a hand, but if you'd like to, I'd like to give you full chance to speak. David, if you're speaking, you're on mute. Going once. Oh, okay, David is red X for revise. Now, no phone right now, dead battery. Okay. So we have one for revise, but not able to speak to it. Well, I want to give David his moment to speak to it. David, could you give us some thoughts in text as quickly as you can? Right now, it looks we're leaning towards delete, but I do want David. David says, I can see I'm outvoted, no problem. Okay. Well, with that, then we will move on then. I think that's okay. Not now. Don't see it as a critical point. Terrific. Got it. Okay. Well, so the consensus here, not in any defined sense of the word consensus, because we could spend a day on that, but it seems like we are looking to delete question number two. So if staff could capture that, that would be great. We spent 2 weeks on question number one, and we spent 10 minutes on question number two. We're picking up the pace. That's terrific. All right, let's move on to question number three. Question number three, could registries provide the same or similar services without the use of the TMCH? And again, we have here a proposal to delete. And I will before I ask for someone to speak to the reason to delete it, I'll say that I personally don't know fully what this question means. Specifically, could registries provide the ICANN required services or the additional marketplace protections? I'm assuming that it means could registries provide the additional marketplace protections without the use of the TMCH. I think that must be what it means. Otherwise, it's a question essentially getting at whether or not we should do away with the TMCH. So let's proceed on the basis that that's what question three means. There's a proposal to delete. I see Susan Payne's hand is up. Susan, if you could please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. My hand's up because I think this was my proposal to delete again. So I thought perhaps I'd better speak to it. I certainly had read it as the way you were reading it, i.e. could registries provide the additional marketplace RPMs without the use of the TMCH? And I think it's a perfectly interesting question, but it didn't seem to me to be at all relevant. I couldn't see what relevance it had. I'd love to, if people feel it does have and it's useful to do, I'm willing to be persuaded. But, given that we're just, my view would be that we are just looking at the ecosystem in which the mandatory RPMs operate, and we're not going into a deep dive and reviewing the actual operation of the additional marketplace RPMs, I couldn't really see whether it mattered terribly, whether they could offer the same or a similar service without the TMCH or with it. But as I say, I'm really happy for someone to persuade me otherwise.
Thank you, Susan. Would anyone else like to speak to this? I see John, your hand is up. John, please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. Without pride of authorship, I believe I suggested this question in the first rewrite, and maybe it did come from two, and maybe it could be added to one, but I guess the relevance was if we're looking at issues related to the trademark house and how that database might be used in additional marketplace services. I just thought the question would be relevant could those services be offered without the use of the TMCH? I don't care that strongly. I don't feel strongly about it. So if the consensus is to get rid of it, that's fine. Or if you want to kind of add it to one in a way, because you say how's the clearinghouse used for additional marketplace services, and we could say is such use necessary or something like that. But I'm fine if you just want to kill the whole thing too. Thanks.
Thank you, John. This on a purely selfish basis, I don't want to add it to question number one, because question number one being finalized is the only thing I've ever accomplished in 14 years in ICANN land, and I don't want to reopen it up. Steve, I see your hands up. Go ahead.
Steve Levy for the record. Just to address Susan's point earlier, I personally feel that there really shouldn't be too many limits on what we are permitted to inquire into. She used the phrase mandatory RPMs, and I know that's still an open issue, whether we're how far we're digging into mandatory versus voluntary or marketplace RPMs. But the fact that we as a sub-team exist tells me that we have at least some mandate to look into things other than mandatory RPMs. That being said, I'm a big fan of, being over-inclusive rather than under-inclusive. All of that, of course, does not go to the substance of the question itself. And, I think it's kind of an interesting point. I wouldn't, stand my ground strongly if there was a consensus to get rid of it. But it is kind of interesting. I mean, it raises to me the question of whether registry operators would really need to verify trademark rights on their own if they're not going to go through the TMCH. What sort of services could they provide with respect to RPMs that would not include a TMCH? I'm actually kind of curious, would love to hear from somebody as to a suggestion or an example of what kind of marketplace RPM could be provided that does not involve the TMCH or otherwise, you know, having to duplicate the trademark verification process. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. I'm typing into the chat now a proposed revision to question number 3, and I'd like to get people's response to it. I will read it as I type. Could registry operators provide the same or similar additional marketplace protections without the TMCH? If so, would there be any increase in costs to brand owners? Because I do think that, first of all, I think we should make it clear that we're talking about providing additional marketplace protections without the TMCH. If we mean this question to encompass also the mandatory RPMs, then this question goes to whether or not we need a TMCH. And I think that question is outside our very narrow scope. I think it's arguably inside our scope if we're asking the question about additional marketplace protections. And then secondly, without asking the second question, I think that it's sort of a so what question. So if the answer is yes, registry operators could provide the additional marketplace protections without the TMCH, the next question then is, you know, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? And if it's going to raise costs, I would think that would be a bad thing. So can we just have some reaction to my proposed revision of question number 3?
Paul, John says he's Mary okay. From staff. May I ask?
Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to ask a couple of follow-up questions, if I may, from the staff perspective. And we offer this for, hopefully, purposes to clarify that the purpose of the question as pointed out by Christine, and we're also mindful of Kathy's comment from last week that when we speak of the TMCH, there is the TMCH validator's role, which is Deloitte, and there is the running of the TMCH database by IBM. So first question is, when we say same or similar services or same or similar additional marketplace RPMs, as you're suggesting, Paul, do we mean the ones that they are offering at the moment? I assume we do, so that's really a clarifying question. The second question is more is about the phrase use of the TMCH and whether there is a need to be more specific about this, as in, for example, accessing the TMCH database or using some service to be provided by arrangement with Deloitte. We don't have a view on the question. We just hope these are helpful clarifications to consider. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary. Steve, I see your hands up. Please go ahead. Oh. All right. Steve's hand went down. So it seems to me, again, I'm just trying to figure out some way to ask question 3 in a way that provides, you know, information about what we're really seeking information about, which is the additional marketplace protections. So if people don't like what I proposed, I think that's fine. Please do speak up. I take Mary's point and maybe we should say, could registry operators provide the same or similar additional marketplace protections without access to the TMCH database?
Hi, this is Rebecca Tushnet. I'm sorry, I'm on audio only. And actually, I really liked the way you just said it. Sorry to interrupt.
Thanks, Rebecca. Is that, I'm trying to work off of what Mary's comment was, is that the Is that the question? Any reaction in addition to Rebecca on phrasing it that way? Because there is the obviously there's an interoperation between registry systems and the trademark database that provides the validation for Sunrise registration and triggers claims notices. I really would like to hear perhaps from John or Jeff, those with a little more experience in the operational area, if either of you two could give me some thoughts on the revised question number 3.
Sure, Paul, it's John. I think the question as revised implies or assumes something that might not be accurate. Because you're kind of assuming that we currently have access to the TMCA, where, at least for us, we don't.
So, John, can you talk about, if you're at liberty to do so, what the interactions with the Trademark Clearinghouse database are for you at all? Is it for Sunrise?
We don't have any interaction with the Trademark Clearinghouse for additional marketplace RPMs. We don't track, which we'll answer in number one. But just I'm happy to. Let you know now.
Yeah.
There's no separate agreement. There's no access to the database. The validation is done by the trademark holder.
Okay. So the question itself presupposes that there is, use of the Trademark Clearinghouse database in some way. Maybe the question is better asked: do registry providers who provide additional marketplace protections need access to the Trademark Clearinghouse in order to do so? Is that a better question, John?
That's fine with me as well. Yep.
So, sorry, this is Rebecca Tushnet, and I apologize for not being able to raise my hand. I wonder, though, if we then lose some of the question about, what's actually going on. So, maybe we could say, where there is an interaction, or even there is or could be an interaction, does that change the costs or burdens? And really, how does that work?
Okay. Jeff, your hand's up. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. John, there's a little bit of interaction in the sense of registries rely on the clearinghouse for publishing a list of revoked SMD files or so it's not quite 100% that there's no interaction. It's just that the way the question's worded, it assumes that we have like a direct connection to the clearinghouse and the registries are directly interacting. I mean, there are certain parameters that are checked to make sure that, like I said, that SMD files are not expired or revoked. And also that there's a list of names, not for the additional services, but there's a list of strings that are sent by the clearinghouse to the registry or pulled by the registry of names that are names that match a claim so that that we can tell the registrar to pull the claim information from the clearinghouse. But there is no contact.
Yeah, Jeff, I was just talking about additional RPMs.
Yeah, but okay, but John, just to ask a question, do you still, for the blocking additional, don't you require an valid SMD file?
Yeah, from the trademark holder. We don't get it from the clearinghouse.
Right, but you don't get it from the clearinghouse, but you check the clearinghouse to make sure that the SMD file hasn't expired or been revoked. That's tiny, I know. It's a tiny thing. Just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, and I don't even know if that's accurate or not. But.
Okay, thank you both. Kathy, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Hi, all. Sorry to be joining late. Wow, did I just hear John say that SMD files may be used but not checked for expiration or revocation? Okay. So based on this discussion, isn't there...
Kathy, you didn't hear me. Just all right, Kathy, just so I... You did not hear me say that. Thank you.
Okay. Based on this discussion, then, to John, to Paul McGrady, should we be adding something that says our registry operators using the TMCH database and its features for additional marketplace mechanisms? If so, how? And also the question, does the current adopted policy allow this? The STI did speak to this. And then going on to, could registry operators provide the same or additional mechanisms without access to the TMCH? But let me read that again. I'll put it in chat. Are registry operators using the TMCH database and its features, and or its features, I guess, for additional marketplace mechanisms? If so, how? You know, we need to understand that, right? This discussion shows that. And does the current adopted policy allow this? Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. There's a lot of additions and subtractions to this proposed question. I've been trying to capture them all and put together a new proposed straw man question in the chat, but it's moving so quickly. Any other comments on this? And I will see if I can put forward something in the chat, at least to sort of focus all these various ideas. I'm wondering, though, there's something about Kathy's question that sounds familiar. And I wonder if we have somewhere along the lines already asked that question. I hate to do this.
Paul,
Mary's hands up. Mary, can you help me out? It seems familiar to me.
Hi, Paul, everyone. This is Mary from staff. You know, I don't know if this is what you're asking, but what I tried to put in the chat is that if folks will remember, some time ago, in the early stages of the working group, we did have a poll that went out to registry operators. Actually, I think it might have been in late 2016, where we asked them a couple of questions that may be relevant to this discussion. For example, one question that we asked was whether new GTLD registries were accessing data records in the TMCH for purposes other than providing sunrise and claims. And another question is whether or not they were using the capabilities of the TMCH other than for sunrise and claims. You may recall that we got responses from only a few registries, but they included donuts and PIR. And John has already spoken, I think, in this discussion today about Donuts' practice in that they may look at the SMD files, but the rest I've put in the chat. I don't know if that's what you were referring to, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought that sounded familiar. So I think we've already asked the question of whether or not the TMCH database, or really it's cooperation from the TMCH operator, which would be a more umbrella concept. So I think what the point of this question really is and should be is, could registry operators provide, actually, I'm coming back to the original question. Could registry operators provide the same or similar services as same or similar additional marketplace protection services without the cooperation of the trademark clearinghouse operator? Is that really what we're asking? Jeff,
hey, Paul, Jeff,
please go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So I've been trying to think of how to word this, and I'm not 100% sure. But it's not cooperating with the clearinghouse. It's basically relying on the clearinghouse as a third-party validation agent. It's not a contractual relationship, but it's basically relying on the validation services performed by the clearinghouse. So, in essence, the question is, can registry operators use other sources of information or other third-party validation services to rely on in order to deliver its services? I would say it's more like that it's just, you know, John, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but essentially what's being done is that registries are relying on the fact that the TMCH did its validation and then is by virtue of being validated by the TMCH is accepting that as eligibility to participate in its additional protection mechanism. So I don't know if that helps any, but it's not that they're using the capabilities, it's not that they're accessing the database, but they are relying on the validation services performed by the clearinghouse.
Thank you, Jeff. I wonder if I could, as we move on to Susan's hand here, if I could burden you with putting forward into the chat a revised question along those lines for us to look at. Susan, can you please go ahead?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Paul. And as Jeff was talking, I was realizing that, well, firstly that I agreed with him, but also that it seems to me that the answer to this question is yes. We all know it's yes now. I mean, if we want to keep it as a question, then fine. But we know now, you know, just as a result of this conversation, the answer is quite clearly yes. Other people offer validation services besides the TMCH. A registry could clearly choose to use an alternative rather than the TMCH. I still don't really know why we're asking this. You know, how does it take us forward, I guess?
Thanks, Susan. I see here Jeff asked, here's the proposed question. Could registries provide the same or similar services without relying on the validation services performed by the TMCH? Yeah, that seems like that's the question we're getting at, but as Susan and Jeff both note, I think that, you know, the answer there is yes. Obviously, there are other ways to validate trademarks before the existence of the Trademark Clearinghouse. That's why all the various countries maintain trademark databases. The point of the Trademark Clearinghouse is just to, you know, make it more convenient for both brand owners and registry operators. So we can ask that question, but again, I'm not sure if we, without a second question, I'm not sure what this is meant to tell us. Any comments on Jeff's proposed rewrite in terms of tweaks to it, or whether or not we should even bother to ask it since we know the answer? I'm happy to withdraw my question about my second question about whether or not if doing so, providing these services without the Trademark Clearinghouse as part of the mix would raise costs. So that's fine. And I think that that's probably, an additional concept that was not in our first set of questions. And so it's probably a little bit of scope creep there. Kathy, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Paul, this is Kathy. Could you tell me what the current question is that we're evaluating?
Sure.
Which version of it? Because I'm not sure if I'm looking, if Jeff Newman is add-on to something else or whether it's now a standalone. Thanks.
Yeah.
So, and then I'll keep my hand raised.
Yeah, Kathy, for sure. The question is, as Jeff put into the chat, could registries provide the same or similar services without relying on the validation services performed by the TMCH? And I, putting myself slightly in the queue, would like to change it slightly so that it read, could registry operators provide the same or similar additional marketplace services without relying on the validation services performed by the TMCH? That way we're making it clear that we're not asking an existential question for the TMCH. We're just asking specifically about validation for additional marketplace protections. So with that said, Kathy, can you go ahead?
Yeah, that means we've dropped some of the background material. I mean, I recognize that the people on this sub-team are experts and live and breathe it every day, but the other 150 members of the working group don't. So, again, the question, are registry operators using the TMCH database and or its features for additional marketplace mechanisms is a basic fundamental question. You know the answer, but the rest of the working group doesn't, so let's ask it and answer it. And if so, how? And then, sorry, but we're a review team. We're looking at existing policy. So existing policy matters. And the existing policy comes out of the STI, and I think we should be at the STI and the IRT and what was adopted by the council and the board. And there are provisions in there that have to do with ancillary and other services of the TMCH database. And this seems to be the very appropriate place to be looking at that. Do the rules allow it? If not, should we be changing it? If not, should we be enforcing it? Don't quite understand why we're not looking at policy issues. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. Susan, if you could go ahead, please. And then, go ahead.
Thanks. This just reminds me, actually, that a while ago, and I think it was in the context of the Sunrise, probably. We talked in the Sunrise Charter Group quite at length about the SMT file and what it does and how it works and so on. And at that time, we did all agree that we thought it would be really useful because, as Kathy mentioned, some people in this working group are not experts. It would be useful to have a bit of a teach-in. So just so that people in this working group understand, how it works. And it seems to me that had we had that teach-in, we wouldn't then be having this conversation about how does the SMD file work, when it's used by donuts or whoever. So maybe, rather than kind of creating for ourselves a charter question, which we don't really need, maybe the answer is we should have that lesson on how this works.
Thank you, Susan. Okay. Well, this has become a bit intense.
Sorry. This is Rebecca Tushnet. Sorry. Can I put in one more point?
Sure, Rebecca. Please go ahead. And always feel free to jump in like this. Never hesitate.
I actually think this question is maybe a little unclear on the could. I mean, we have in it a discussion of cost to trademark owners, but we might also consider, sort of what, when we say, could you do it without it, maybe what would substitute for it in their view? Because that might also be quite relevant. So it's not just a question of sort of physical possibility, which I think we all agree on, but more practicality, pragmatism, what would you go to next? Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Jeff, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Physical.
Yeah, I think the way to think about the TMCH and the way it's, quote, being used is kind of similar to, if I can do an analogy, it's kind of like when companies or anyone does a credit check on a person, if they, or on a company. So let's say I get a new customer in and I want to do a credit check. I will ask for their DNB number, like Dun & Bradstreet number. That's commonly used in the United States. And I will rely on that information that they submit because I know the DNB has done the appropriate verification of business information that they're a real business. I have no contract with the Dun & Bradstreet to use that information. It's just an available source. So the answer to what would registries do if the TMCH didn't exist, they'd find another source. And whether that's, you know, downloading the USPTO information or anything else, you know, it's a source of data, but not anything. It's not being, quote, used in the sense that most people think of the term being used. I think Susan's idea of a tutorial, if you will, or what is an SMB file, how is it being relied upon, I think is a good idea. But I think the question that Kathy, you posed, is stemming from a misunderstanding of, or not a complete understanding of, what the word use actually means in this case.
Thank you, Jeff. So we've had two people call for a little bit more of an education session on the technical aspects of how the TMCH works, and specifically, I suppose, in relationship to, since we're the additional marketplace protections group, how there is interaction, if at all. But before we talk about that, because I think that is something that we, if we're going to do that, we need to do it sooner rather than later so that we don't get hung up on technical questions or the remainder of the questions that we need to get through. I would like to, I see there's some back and forth in the text about a way to handle this question since we, you know, whether it's, you know, essentially if it's in the format that the Jeff last proposed it, I think we know the answer is yes, but how do we capture that? And I'm hoping that I see some back and forth with Christine Durain and Susan Payne on that. And it looks like maybe other sub-teams have come across these kinds of questions, which are essentially asked and answered, and they were dealt with in the report in a particular way. Is Susan or Christine, could I get one of the two of you to speak to that? Hi, Christine. I see your hand. Thank you so much. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, Paul, this is Christine Durain. In the claim subteam, and I know in the Sunrise subteam as well, and even in the previous trademark clearinghouse charter question subteam, we've had sort of a column of notes where when we were working on a specific question, if there was data that we had already gathered or data that we knew where or places where we knew where to find the data, we linked that so that when we actually got to discussing the information with the broader subteam, it was available at our fingertips. So not only did it become a list of questions for the full working group to consider, but it became a list of resources that had come up along the way. And I think that's useful here. I know we ended up turning all of the work into a chart, but So where something has the answer is clear, then we could post a link to the answer. Where we know that there's specific information on how to find the answer, we can link to that as well. So it becomes a running collection of research. So when we get back to it in 2 or 3 or 4 months, we can say, oh yeah, that's right, we've already done that, you know, research. Let's just click on the links and do our homework now. Thanks.
Thanks, Christine. That's very helpful. And I think a good way to capture the past work, the past questions that have been asked on this. Kathy, you indicate that the question's asked but not answered. If we the question really boils down to, I think, could the additional marketplace protections, could they be provided, even if there wasn't a trademark clearinghouse, right? And I think the answer, since the trademark clearinghouse only contains trademark information that are, it's essentially otherwise available from sources that, pre-exist the trademark clearinghouse and will exist after the trademark house becomes an interesting historic footnote whenever that occurs, that I guess I don't understand why the answer isn't yes, and therefore the question isn't answered. So, Kathy, please go ahead and help me understand. Thanks so much.
I think the fact that this group of expert people has just spent half an hour on this question with all sorts of ramifications and concerns indicates that an issue has been raised for the rest of the working group. Here we're talking about ancillary services, additional marketplace services. That's different than our discussions of the SMD file under Sunrise. Yes, we talked about the SMD file a lot and said in the subteams and said that these are issues to be raised for the working group, but it's a different question when you're talking about their uses in ancillary services. And again, going back to the policy question, if the answer is yes, then is it allowed under policy? Are there policy restrictions on the TMCH database that we need to look at and apply and think about? I thought that's the purpose of this whole subteam, frankly. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. You raise an interesting point, which is which we spoke to at the beginning of the call. And it sounds like you're advocating for the position that you took on the last call, which is that you believe that the subteam's job is to evaluate substantively the additional marketplace protections, while others believe that the purpose of this subteam is to gather information about those and to take it back to the larger working group, who can then ask that kind of question that you're talking about. Since you may recall that we asked the co-chairs of the larger working group, of which you're one, to take that question back to the larger working group, and I don't believe that's happened yet. And so when we first started this call, and admittedly you weren't on it at the beginning, we decided that we needed some paradigm with which to move forward, and since we did not have a response from the co-chairs essentially telling us what the working group's feelings are about whether or not we need to move forward with those sorts of substantive questions, that we would move forward under the belief, which I had when I joined this call, and I think others did too, that this was an information-gathering exercise that would then be taken back to the larger working group where those kinds of questions could be asked if the larger working group wanted to do that. And so to the extent that the co-chairs come back and tell us that the working groups will, is that we ask those more substantive policy-driven questions here. As I said at the beginning of the phone call, we may have to go back and revisit some of our work. And so I think that may be where the disconnect is. Kathy, please go ahead.
Paul, if I might, I think you just answered your question then. Should we keep the question here? Absolutely, because it's the placeholder to this entire discussion for the rest of the working group. And then the hook by which we'll be discussing policy, I guess, if it's appropriate, based on what you said. But I think you just answered your question brilliantly, that we keep it for that reason. Thanks.
Yeah, Kathy, I think that the question of whether or not it should be asked, that second question on policy should be asked here or some other place has not been, we've not heard from the working group yet that it should be. If we hear that, then obviously we'll have to revisit some of these things. If we don't, then, again, that doesn't necessarily bar the working group from asking them someplace else. I'm just a working group member, so I would have to, obviously take the cue from the working group's larger will on that question. So I don't want to get too bogged down on that. I do think that it makes sense to take up Christine Durain's proposal of essentially, it seems to me, the outcome here is to adopt Jeff Newman's revision to this question with my little tweak, making specific reference to the additional marketplace protections. Essentially say, you know, here's a question, here are links to some of the answers to similar questions that have already been asked. Those are the things that Mary Wong mentioned earlier that will help us understand this question. And then I do think it would be extremely helpful to us to understand a little bit better, as Susan Payne and Jeff Newman have suggested, understand the technical interaction with the Trademark Clearinghouse, and specifically if we can do that in relationship to the additional marketplace protection. So I guess my question then to, I guess, staff, I'm so sorry, and if you need some time to look into this and respond it on the list, but my question is, who do we get that information from, and how quickly can we have that? And if we have already had that and it's recorded somewhere, can we get a link to that? And if not, do we take one of our, you know, upcoming sessions to become better educated about those issues? Because there does seem to be a bit of a, you know, difference between, our two resident experts, Jeff and John, about how much interaction there is. Mary, can you please? Thank you, Mary. Your hand's up. Thank you. Rescue me.
Hi, Paul, everyone. This is Mary from staff. So what we had proposed doing was to recirculate the information we had sent to the working group about the TMCH functional operations and including the SMD files, and, you know, see if there is interest in doing the tutorial. If the tutorial is to be done, then I would suggest that it would not be policy staff. It will probably be our GDD colleagues. So one thing is, I don't know how quickly we would be able to arrange a with them. We could use a working group session, but that would obviously take valuable time away from the policy discussion. But if it should be done, then it'd be done. Alternatively, we could arrange for an alternative time, say one of the sub-team slots on Friday, although that may not be ideal. Either way, if we do a tutorial, we will try and do it quickly, and it will certainly be recorded so that folks who can't make that session will have access to it.
Thank you, Mary. That is extremely helpful. I think that it makes sense to have it at a different time if we can do that, and to record it so that those who can't make that other time slot are able to get the full information. Since we are pretty much out of time, why don't we do this? Why don't we make this question, revise it along the lines that Jeff proposed, with my little tweak, making sure that we understand we're asking the question about the additional marketplace protections, and make a note that it's still a bit of an open item, and ask staff to plop in close to it those links to similar questions already asked of providers in this space, so that we have the full context to make sure that this question isn't redundant with other work that's already been done. And then with staff checking into the tutorial, which I think is a great idea, maybe we can hear some more about that on the list. Obviously, the GDD staff is busy, and it's also holiday season for them. So I suggest that we run parallel there. And then in our next call, see what we can do with question number four. If we run into similar technical questions for question number four, we may have to, put that one aside and move on to the next one until we get to some that we can answer before that tutorial. Although I think question number four seems to me to be a bit more straightforward, since it's, it has to do with pre-existing documents. So hopefully that sounds okay to everybody. We have 4 minutes left. I'll open the queue for AOB. Okay, seeing no hands, everybody gets 3 minutes back. Use it wisely. Thanks, everybody, for such robust participation on today's call. I think it was great. It's always good to have lots of views and lots of hands raised. So I thank you very much. And I will see you on other ICANN calls. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks so much, everyone. Have a great day. And Shay, Verizon operator, would you please disconnect the recordings? Thank you.